So at the tailgate, and then after the tailgate,
Glenn got Julia, a little saucy.
Julia poured me so much, an irresponsible amount of tequila. Because she was talking to Terry at the time, and she said she thought she was mixing Terry's drink. She thought it was tonic that she was pouring. She forgot that she was still had tequila in her hand, and it was just pouring continuously in my glass.
Oh, well.
I keep looking at her. I'm like, is she something? She's going
is
to
she stop.
She
stop?
Didn't.
She
and then
stop?
What am I supposed to do? Not drink it? So I survived it. How rough must have you have been to just wave the white flag, know when you've had your limit, know when you've hit it, and just to say, you know what, I'm going to watch this one from home.
You know, I'm actually proud of myself for letting the adult in me win over the FOMO. Right? Like, I just felt like...
I think your text in the thread said, Jen, done.
Jen, done. I'm out.
You, when you start speaking like the Hulk, yeah, it's time to go home. From just outside the perimeter and just a little bit more outside the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, where the fire came on Easter and we beat their keister.
Oh, it's God. Like, okay,
I knew
so,
I couldn't do it.
So this is what we're going to do. For the rest of the pod, no actual swearing. You can't call anybody an asshole or a dickbag. You have to use noodle or doo-doo head. Or keister. Yeah.
It is the Five Takes Podcast, and we are back.
We're so doodle back.
Like Beyonce. Anyone listen to Cowboy Carter?
I did.
Yet in its
My
entirety?
God.
And
album
are
of
we
year.
Fans? Are
album
we not?
Album of the year. And I'm not even a fans. Really big Beyonce fan. And I not, tend to
Are you in the hive? Are we a hive adjacent?
Not What's even that? A little bit. Like, I'm
no,
not.
I don't
like,
even
oh
know what
God.
The hive is. How about that? Like, I didn't even know that was a thing until you just said it. Is that like a Beyonce-ite?
Yeah, it's like okay. The Swifties,
well, sure.
The Beehive, the Beehive,
which,
you know?
Which is, oh, the Bay, oh, I get it now. I was going to say, I didn't understand. Yeah. I didn't understand the connection. Yep. I've definitely become a, I'm like a Swiftie adjacent because, like, I like her music, like some of it, which is weird because I didn't even just like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I would like constantly roll my eyes whenever I heard some of it because I was just like, ugh. And then so many more things happened and I'm like, yeah, I'm at least Swiftie adjacent in the sense that I totally respect her as a person and an artist. And I think that's good enough to at least make me Swiftie adjacent completely.
Do we have a favorite track of the new album?
Ooh, ooh,
I'm going
ooh, yeah.
Tyrant mm-hmm, for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Two Most Wanted. No. Two Most Wanted. Okay. That track just, ooh, I know I'm probably going to hear it at every wedding for the next 5 years, but I don't really care because I could listen to it over and over and over again. And it's such, I feel like, a sophisticated song. And what a freaking departure for not just Beyonce, but also one Miss Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I love it.
Like,
oh, God,
I
so
mean,
good.
Come on.
Well, everything Miley's done in the last 3 or 4 years has just been spectacular.
I'm enjoying the genre bending, the mm-hmm. like, don't put me in a box that we're seeing from a lot of different artists. Anybody else coming up with an album drop that we're looking forward to that we can think of?
Well, supposedly Taylor's going to have another one.
Oh, yeah. It's the Tortured Poets Department. It's a Tottenham Hotspur documentary.
Ah, yeah.
I know. Believe me.
Since the current, 10th place holder right now, at least Spurs are fighting.
At least
it cracked
the top 10. Thanks for playing, Glenn.
Yeah,
thanks
I was going to say, playing. At least Spurs are like contending for a Champions League spot. Come on.
Chelsea cracking the top 10? We can't even beat a team that plays with 10.
Ooh. Wow, you just really...
Burnley had 10. They lost a man and had their coach ejected. What? And then Cole hits a Panenka? And then we still draw. Oh my
god. That was pretty awesome. Glenn, no. We're gonna get back on topic because you know who did beat a team. Panenkas
and pain.
Do you know who did beat a team with 10 men?
Well, who were beating them before 10 men.
Okay, but they still had 10. They still had 10 men, and we still beat
them. But we did. But we were taking care of business long before then. Something Chelsea Football Club knows nothing about.
Oh, it's so sad. But Liverpool back on top, doing what we got to do.
I'm happy for you.
We are taking control of our own destiny because that's the only thing that Liverpool can actually do. We had one job on this past Sunday, and that was to make sure that we won our game. That's the only thing that we can do. And then the best case scenario of a 0-0 draw, because that way they gain absolutely nothing in goal differential on us. And even though they were going to get a point, they were going to probably do that regardless. So neither team gained any ground except on and even on goal differential. It was absolutely best case scenario for the two teams below us to play each other. We got our points. Now we just have to win out. If we win out, that's it. Liverpool has the title. It is possible. We have to we have to play Man U again, and we already did, and we have to have a much better performance than we did during the FA Cup semifinal, but we'll be more rested. So
I'm happy for you.
It's possible.
Go win it. I think City-Arsenal game was a really good advert for why we need to introduce a rule where somehow both teams lose.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No points. What do you guys think about a 0-0 draw? You have to at least score a goal in order to walk away with points.
Like, yeah, it has to, shit.
Right? Because if nobody scores, like, you could just, because literally, no, I know this is gonna sound absolutely ridiculous and would never happen in 1,000 years, but literally all 22 players from both teams could walk out, sit down on the field, wait 90 minutes, and get a point.
I mean, that's kind of what they did, isn't it?
Touche. But that's possible. I don't think it seems silly almost a little bit. Like, wait a minute, you guys both went out, you played hard, but nothing happened, so we're gonna give you a point anyway.
I mean, no one wants to, you know, that's just the I think that's been the knock on soccer in this country for a long, long time, is no one wants to watch a boring sit back and do nothing match
that ends
something to happen
1-1 or 2-1. It's scoring, but then you watch the NFL and it's 14-7. No, it's not, it's 2-1.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. It's 2-1.
That's a very good point. And
it's 2-2.5 if it's 14-3. It's like 2.5 a point.
This is not a math podcast, we're not here for that.
I know. I went to a game. So I went to a Georgia game years ago with my parents, and it was a big deal because we were actually, all three of us were able to get together, and I had really wanted to see Georgia play another SEC team. I'd always gone to, like, you know, the Division I games where they play somebody from, you know, like Troy State or something like that. So they just, you know, you go, you watch them whoop up on some team. It's a lot of scoring. It's a lot of fun. I wanted to see a real drag out fight. I go and it's Missouri versus Georgia. The game ended 9-6. Okay. So if you're doing the math, that's three field goals for Georgia, two field goals for Missouri. It was one of the most frustrating and yet boring games. And we're like, oh my God, we paid so much money for this. We planned this for months. It was a night game too, and I hadn't been to a night game yet up in Athens. Man, it sucked. Anyway,
every sport has some boring games.
Yeah, but at least with 0-0, and they still walk away with points.
But everybody expected, I think, a lot more out of that specific matchup. Like, you know, you got all that offensive firepower. You know, and not that they don't have good defense. They both have really solid defense. But yeah, they really just both kind of sat back and played pussyfoot with each other.
Well, it's really interesting, too, because you have two teams that are complete bullies, and they didn't go out and try to bully each other. I think they both of them kind of spent way too much time sitting back.
Yes, but bullies want to pick on the child that's smaller and less able than them.
Bullies don't like fighting bullies. Yeah, bullies don't like fair fights. Maybe that was to be... expected. Look, I'm here for Liverpool winning it.
Thank you.
Go for it.
We're trying.
So in that same yeah. vein, does what happened at the Benz this week make Atlanta United a bully?
No.
I don't think so. Not yet.
I mean, at the end, no. I think it was like, I think I saw it like 35 minutes in, possession was almost dead even.
I don't think we bullied them. I don't think we bullied any team. I think we played well, but I didn't see
us bullying. If we scored 6 or 7, I'd say that maybe it could be like,
or just the style of play. Like they had their opportunities. They had their chances. I don't think we bullied them, but I do think we were statistically dominant. I think we played really well.
And that's a good thing for us.
Which I'm all here for.
I think their goalie kept them in it because there were absolutely 2 or 3
shots the post too.
In the first half that he made a couple of really good saves on, and or yep. we had just a little bit off mishitting that like, that's why I'm asking the question about, did we bully them? Because had any one of those goals gone in, this is an even worse nightmare for Chicago.
Right. And in which case, if anything, I don't even think that we're bullying. I think if anything, we're just showcasing and highlighting their errors and how much they really need to have. They had so much that they needed to work on afterwards. But no, I think that Saba bullied the goalkeeper's hands and the post pretty well. So did Almada. But I think there were at least 2 saves by the post and 2 saves by the keeper that were just like, how did that not go in?
Yeah.
So, had those been in it and had been 7-0, that would have been,
burritos today.
That's just a grade A, keister whooping. See, it just doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, no.
Keister whooping.
I always think of keister as like a verb. Keister something.
We are now.
That just went swoosh way over Glenn's head there. He didn't hear that at all.
No, I didn't.
I totally ignored it.
It's so nice to know that you listen to things that we have to say.
Now y'all can watch me ignore them. this is your first time joining us. We now have video, and you can see the Jen's wine background, very apropos. And Kat just threw up a flag to cover up all her chip boxes.
I thought you were going to say Kat threw up. It's like, no, I did not.
Kat threw up on all her chips.
But what I was trying to say is that we've been at this for about 12 minutes, and since no one has provided a decent segue into Mason Mill, let's just thank him instead of trying to segue our way ourselves.
Thanks, Mason Mill. Oh, sorry. Do you actually want to do some kind of cool intro there, Glenn?
No,
let's just thank them. I did.
Let's just be thankful that they exist and that they're around and that we both got to see them last week. You went for the chili cook-off at a chiropractor. Let's go.
Yeah. So who won the chili cook-off?
I don't actually know who won. I have to go back.
Is there a recount?
The votes were tallied at the end of the day, and they also were going to post the winning recipe. So feel free to check out the website, I believe, or like probably the Instagram page or Twitter. I'm not sure. But the Mason Mill socials, it's on there somewhere. I'm usually it's interesting because there were a couple very interesting types of chili, one including that had chorizo and pineapple, which was actually the one that I voted for. And I'm usually
it was I'm, Mickey. Mickey oh, won. Mickey.
Which what number was for hers? Year. What number was hers? Did it say?
I'm not sure. It's the beef fiesta chili. They did post all the ingredients for all of the chilies.
I believe the beef fiesta one was the one I'm talking about with the maybe with the chorizo and pineapple. But
chorizo is not beef. Last time I checked,
it's not pineapple.
But I think it had that. I think it had that in it too.
It did have pineapple, which is weird. I don't agree with adding pineapple to pizza or to meat or in general.
Hey, pineapple goes on pizza.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lovely year. I'm walking
pineapple
away
goes
right
on
now.
Pizza.
Pineapple goes on pizza.
Fuck you're entitled to a wrong opinion, but we really appreciate Mason Mill sponsoring us, taking care of us. I got to go on Friday. I went on Good Friday. They were open. How about that? And I got to see an old friend, Dr. Miner, who used to be part of the practice there, but has since moved on to his own independent thing, doing his thing, doing well. He's also doing a lot of house calls, massage work now too, but I got a great adjustment from him. I think you got a great adjustment from Dr. Cohen. If you dial these numbers in sequence, 404-321-0082, you too can get a great adjustment. Probably not the chili anymore. It's a week now. I'm not sure what the half-life
is. No, but I do have a slight piece of advice for anyone going to get adjusted.
Go ahead.
Don't eat the chili before you do the adjustment.
No, did you? What? No, go.
You
go
not ahead. Listen to anything you say, Kat.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to her
no,
own podcast.
We didn't. No, we didn't. Listen to your own podcast.
This was not something that was discussed prior to the podcast. It
was actually discussed.
Yes,
on
no, we totally
podcast,
did.
Kat.
We totally did.
We
totally
well, Mike, did. Well, my concept of time these days is utterly skewed. I don't know. It's you know, I don't know. Up from down, left
and
from right,
the one
cats
that
and dogs
listen.
Fighting. It's chaos. Yeah, so it was really fun. It was really fun when he got onto to my back on the drop down table and he gave a and I was like, oh, okay. Luckily, I didn't have much. It was just a sampling of each of the chilies. I wasn't.
You don't need to justify what happened on the adjustment.
I wasn't.
Table
I wasn't
after
fully
you sampled chilied. A bunch of chili.
Well, there you go. There's your visual for the night. Enjoy.
Just picture
again.
A
we,
cat.
What?
Oh God.
We really appreciate him.
Hairball.
Putting up with us year in and
that's what
year
it was.
Out.
It nearly
and hey, little birdies told me that thanks to them, we might have some awesome new swag dropping.
Yep, we got new stickers on the way for Mace Mill for us as well, featuring our new logo with that one over there. Yep, she's there. Has to be. So those are on the way. Go see Mace Mill. They're in Decatur, Georgia. McConnell Drive.
It's
you can also
just,
book an appointment online, MasonMillCairo.com. Before we get into the takes, you know, our low key man of the match, do you want to talk about any of your experience there and what that was like at the Unified Day signing?
Well, I can, at the risk briefly. Of getting, at the risk of going off on another tangent as we tend to do. Wednesday night was the Atlanta United Unified team signing day, and ever
what,
since
what,
last,
hey, Kat, what is the Atlanta United Unified team?
The Atlanta Unified team is an organization of neurodivergent and physically divergent players who play along with neurotypical and physically typical players as well. They are some amazing people. They have such big, wonderful, beautiful hearts, and they just like everybody else who gets to experience the beautiful game, they get to as well. And so, what the signing day is they these players, and I catch myself because most of the time I feel like the most respectful way to address these people is as players, because that is exactly what they are. And they are treated as such. They're not kids. They're not, I mean, they are young, but they're not, they're not just kids. You know,
all our players are young. They're all kids.
That's
what I know. Speaking of what
compared
we got
to us,
here.
I know, compared to us 40 plus year olds, you know, that we are, but they're not. A lot of times people with differently abled status are looked down upon. They oftentimes are looked as if they are children, because sometimes people think that if they aren't, you know, mentally advanced in age, that they're looked upon as like children. And that's not true. And it's not necessarily disrespectful, but in this particular sense, they are players on a team and they get, and they need to be addressed as such. So that's how I refer to them. That's what I do, because that's what they are. They are on a team. They play together. So they are players. And what the signing day is it's an official event where each one of the players gets to sign their contract. And that's one of the best parts about it, right, Jennifer? You can tell me that you were the one that told me these are legitimate contracts.
Yeah, these are actual
players.
This
are
is
offered.
What is, in my mind, so amazing about the Unified program that Atlanta United runs is that they take these players from all different parts of the state. They've come from different developmental programs, right? They've been drafted. Mm-hmm. They're actually drafted by Atlanta United to come in and play for Atlanta United. And everything that they do is equivalent to what goes on with the first team. And the level of equity that the club shows to the unified team is really unparalleled in this league. So they're signing first team contracts. They're getting, well, similar contracts to what the first team signs for. Obviously, probably not the same dollars involved, but, you know, and then they do a media day. They dropped a hype. They dropped hype videos this year for the unified team. Like, it was awesome. And then they, there's also, there's first team and former player ambassadors that come out that work with them that really develop relationships with the players, that work with them, give them to, you know, give them additional coaching. They practice at the training ground. They're going to travel to two matches on the same itinerary as the first team's going to travel. So, and then they'll, and they play, they'll play a home match. So,
and they have, there's full player profiles. There's an entire coaching staff. They have their own sponsor. That would be Gallagher. Shout out to them for having an impact on this team. They have I've lost myself. I'm sorry. They get their own, they get their own legitimate uniforms with their own unique numbers. And they, when they do the signing day, they, their name is called, they walk up, they receive their uniform, they get to sign their contract, and they are acknowledged by everyone in that room as a legitimate player on a legitimate team. And it was one of the most heartwarming and yet meaningful and beautiful experiences that I have been able to have as a fan and as a supporter of anything having to do with this organization.
And it holds special significance for you too.
Exactly. While I was there, yes, in that, when I am a mother of a special needs child, my son, who is 8 years old, has autism. He is mostly nonverbal. He does have some words. He is able to say mama and some things like that. But he is the light of me and my wife's world, and to be able to see what an organization as large as Atlanta United and all the way up to, you know, to Arthur Blank, who are willing to accept the fact that everyone deserves to be a part of this game. It is just so, it's just, it tears at your heartstrings. And I gave two different interviews when I was at the signing day, and I did everything. I was doing everything that I could to hold it together. And not just completely just cry off all of my five stripes, 'cause I did my five stripes makeup. And I love that too. And a shout out to everybody who went from the different supporters groups, because I would have just been happy to just sit in the back and just watch, but Angel and Alfeo and everybody else that was there, you guys came up with an individual chant and a chant in, as it were, for every single player. Everybody got their own chant, and it's just so fucking special, you know. And it,
well, not only did every player get their chant, they also got full-on announcer treatment from Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. Like I said, to bottom, Boca Negra was there, and you can say what you want about Boca, but, like, everybody, you know, the whole media team was there, like all the street team, you know, the people that make match day happen, everybody from the organization, top to bottom, with the exception of Garth, because I believe he was down with the Generation Adidas players. But
hey,
everybody,
and yo, shout out to Garth for we care about these things. We care about the youth. Like, the president of our club, CEO of our club, is down in Florida for U15 matches. Nobody does it like we do it, y'all.
Illustrate how seriously they take it. Like, that's who all was there. And I think that's just really, I think it's unbelievable. And one of the things that, you know, makes us want to continue to support this club.
And when I was there, and that's nobody does anything when it comes to the unified match half-ass. If anything, that's what we're trying to convey here, is that everything is done to the fullest extent that it can possibly be done. When I stayed after the match last year, and I was able to see the unified home match, all of the referees stayed, all of the announcers stayed. They mm-hmm. still did the train horn to announce the guys on. They would have done the train horn had their, now the game ended 0-0, but there would have been a train horn had somebody from Atlanta scored.
But
shout out to Brad Guzan, who is a big, you know, proponent there. Greg Garza is still there. And Tyler Wolf was there this time. And it's great to see even someone as young as Tyler Wolf getting involved, because he could stay involved with this as he continues to get older and stay with the team. So just everybody there is just so enthusiastic. Nothing is done half-assed here. And it's, yeah,
in that same vein, because we fully believe that we shouldn't be doing things half-assed either. We will mm-hmm. be producing
yes, we will.
Five takes episodes for every unified match this season.
That's right.
Super, we're not yeah. super excited
they will
be to
be full,
putting those
yes,
together,
yeah.
but.
That's right. We'll be doing full-on player profiles of people, of the different players. We're going to make sure that they get the respect and the due treatment that they deserve. So that's something that we had said we were going to be doing more of this season and this year on the Five Takes podcast. And we are, you know, really,
because we
really
are all
happy
about
and
the total fan experience, and everyone who wants to be a fan of the entire organization should have the opportunity to be that. And we should absolutely shine a spotlight on every positive aspect of this organization that we can.
That's right.
So thrilled to
Brilliant.
Be able
that's right.
to put together.
And look, see, I was able to hold it together, and Glenn wasn't.
Yes, we were trying.
We got one. We got a tear.
Yeah,
so,
figures. First episode with video. Of course, I fucking cry.
Okay.
Anyhow,
it's okay. You can't see it.
It's look. We've gotten a little off track from the main topic of this pod, but this is important. I did want to take some time for it, and to let everyone know that, you know, we're going to be treating this team and these players the same way.
Right.
So
look forward.
That coming.
Yeah. Look forward for the unified match Five Takes. And
it's coming
when those come around.
All
right. Moving right along.
So let's start off with everybody's low key man of the match. And thank you to everybody who submitted, candidates for this prestigious award. Again, low-key is, it's not Saba, clearly. Yeah. He's probably just going to be man of the match every time. I don't know. My goodness. But this is just, you know, somebody who was just doing the work and maybe wasn't getting the shouts.
Yeah,
right?
The unsung hero who maybe didn't show up on the score sheet, but we absolutely
or in the statistics or whatever, just wasn't talked about
match.
A whole lot.
Right.
Yep.
For
me...
Maybe they're, I was just going to say, maybe they're even like, what would be number two? Like if you had to pick two men of the match, like if it's your like, you know, oh, it was so close, but we had to pick one. It could be the second one.
Sure.
So what was yours? Because mine was, I think it was that.
It's Noah Cobb. And that fits in with the high five that I don't think we got out this weekend, unfortunately. We'll work on and make sure that happens next weekend.
Yeah.
But one of the points I was putting out was that start Noah again. Start Noah again.
Yeah.
And he's a take later on. We'll get into that. But for me, mm-hmm. Noah Cobb for sure. And we got actually quite a few submissions for Noah as well on Twitter X, whatever we're calling it. Amy Anna Marie says 100% Noah Cobb, low-key man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Who else you guys got?
Well, for me, it's
Noah
Brooks.
As well.
Brooks. For me, it's Brooks Lennon. Yeah. Because honestly, if I had to pick just one moment, it was the absolute, I mean, pin perfect dime that he dropped from. I mean, he went from all the, I mean, it felt like he was practically in the corner when
he's
he dropped that
elite.
Ball unbelievably on a dime to TRA over there. I mean, he could not have set him up for a more perfect first goal for him. There never was a better ball than that. I mean, and the amount of perfect centrifugal spin that it had on it. I mean, it was perfect.
You know,
you're
in good company.
Perfect.
At I am the Dane 2 believes it was Brooks or Tristan and Bo
Josh
McAllister
yep.
Bo McAllister also went with Brooks and Saba. But Saba, again, is more like, yeah, that's just man of the match. But Brooks, and that's totally fair. Jennifer?
Yeah, I struggle with this one between Brooks and the polar bear, man. You know, the polar bear made some really big
saves.
There was that one save he made at, you know, going toward the end of the second half before Tiare scored. Like, yeah, and
Kuiper's, yeah, Kuiper's strike that was like, whew, he had some
had
that on
gone
that
in, we might be having a completely different conversation right now.
That's totally right. It could have flipped the match on a head right there.
No, you know, I think, and I've seen a lot, I've seen a bit of chatter about this, but I think I don't know if you can say it's because Cohen is here and pushing him, or if
it could be.
If that he's finally, you know, really had enough time to heal from the Achilles.
Could be that too. Like, you can't, you can't go past that.
It can be both. He had a little bit of a rest and he's being pushed. Competition is a good thing.
But from where I sit, 40 is the new 30. And it wasn't just that save. His distribution out of the back, and
it's been great.
Him being like, was it the GG goal that he had the absolute like just strike?
I can't remember if it was GG's or if it was TRA's first. But in either rate, you're right. It's not just he appears quicker. I don't know how he's done.
No,
it, but
and
he appears
stronger.
Quicker.
No, I was going to say to the goal that Jennifer was referring of, where it was the two.
But his distribution has been
the diving punch across goal.
Yeah,
he looked strong. It looked like it was.
But the distribution, go off about that, because maybe that hasn't been, especially as late, maybe his strongest part of his game. We always commend him for his communication. Right, organizing the backline, being the leadership, all the intangible stuff. His distribution this season,
it's
okay.
Well, and that punch out was so smart, because that's why we got burned in Toronto. Is he made the initial save and the defense didn't bail him out?
No,
so
he was,
you know what?
Sure,
this time he said, I'm not going to give you a chance to mess this up. I'm going to do it myself and do what I need to do. And it was on the Yakimakis goal. It was the direct kit from Brad to Jande, and then Jande to Saba. And boom, Yakimakis.
Yeah. So you're looking at what, four passes straight from Goose into goal. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. And that's kind of a take too, just of our direct play leading to goals and how we're scoring in a variety of ways, which is a good thing.
Right.
Stefan Kowal also gives a shout for Noah. And hey, special shout to Chris Kilroy, who came up to me at the end of the match and was saying very nice things.
You found out who Chris Kilroy was.
Hey, buddy. You sit a few rows behind us. Thank you for all the love. I never know what to do when praise is being showered upon me. I'm bad at accepting recognition.
You're bad at compliments, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm bad at taking compliments, but I really appreciate it. You gave us a little love on Twitter as
awesome.
Well, thank you, Chris. We appreciate everybody.
And anybody else out there, if you see us at the match, we said this the last time. If you see us at the match,
come up and make me blush awkwardly. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Come up and make Glenn stammer, because he's usually pretty good on the pod. It's hard to make him completely speechless unless I do some really bad cat sign offs.
Cat puns, if you're just talking about kids and the growth of the game and things of that nature, I'll just start crying.
I was going to say the only reason you're quiet is because you're crying. It's not because you're speechless.
That's right.
But come up, say hi to us. We appreciate it. You know,
we appreciate all the feedback online too. And we'd love to hear after every match. Now we want to know who your low key man of the match is. Cause we want to celebrate the unsung heroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of Atlanta.
We literally
United.
Talk.
Equity.
We literally talk, by the way, to have other people hear us. So that's why why we're doing this on this pod. Otherwise,
and God bless you. God bless you guys for listening.
We'd
really
just be talking to each other.
I don't know why you put up with us. Like, for real, I haven't figured it out yet. So, you know, we appreciate it. We appreciate the fact that you've stuck around this long. Maybe we'll get to some takes now.
I know.
Here we go.
Let's get to some takes, Kat.
Number one, the first half kind of did look like a match after an international break. A lot of the matches this weekend in MLS did, you know, attacking ideas were there, just weren't like incisive enough for most of the first 45. there was more opportunity for us to counter off of their direct play, and we just weren't really doing that. It looked like, the guys have been away for a week and a half, right? And just needed to just sync back up. That's what it
maybe a little bit, maybe just a little rusty, because I still liked what we were doing. It didn't look completely unorganized.
Bad.
It didn't look completely unorganized. It didn't look like we were fumbling Not around trying to figure out how to attack. It was just lacking a little bit of finesse. Like they needed to shake off a week's worth of rust, but you know,
I feel like they were just not clinical in the final third. Like there
was just that finesse.
The last extra little piece of dust, but
just wasn't perfectly.
You know who I think is finally looking like he belongs back on this team again? Thiago Almada. I think he's had a little bit, like this was the first match this season where he's really shown up. And I think that's due to lack of a preseason, trying to get integrated, and then right away we have another international break where he goes
That's a really good point. Lack of preseason.
Yeah, it's true. I liked that maybe he was given the license to shoot, maybe from last game to this game, because the amount of shots that he took
a license that he needs. I think it's what Jennifer exactly said. We forget it, and I've forgotten about that. He didn't have a full preseason, right?
He had no preseason. He had like two training sessions before we started the season.
And we hear that from players across leagues. Preseason is like so key. It's so important. And you're right. I've kind of forgotten that he didn't really have that. He kind of just jumped right in after being so synced up with the national team or the youth national.
Right.
You know, for Argentina. Now we're hitting that kind of like he's had his preseason.
Right. You can tell you can tell by what I'm saying is he felt comfortable taking those shots.
Good shot.
Whether it's a license to shoot from Neda is not really what I meant, but it's like he felt he felt so much more comfortable, to take those shots. And man, he could have landed any number of them. Like you said, he could have had couple
post,
of goals.
The post eight, two of them.
I know. So that's what I'm
saying. Check that post. It's correct.
Check the post because it's fucking dented the way he nailed him. So I do. I think they're going to fall. I think we see a goal from him next match or the one after for sure. Because he just, again, that same thing. He's just kind of lacking that last little bit of finesse. I mean, any one of those could have gone in though.
I think his typical distribution, Almada, right? And his control on the ball and how many nutmegs he had and like how he was literally like he and Saba, what was it? The play before Tiare got the second goal he and Saba were just playing keep away with it. Like, I mean, it looked like something out of, you know, on a old, like a sandlot, like, you know, for dusty, you know, down somewhere where you're like, it was like the other Chicago players weren't even there and they were just trying to show off to each other. And the thing I love about it is that he looks like Thiago looks like he's playing with joy and desire and like he wants to be here. And not that he's half cocked or half checked out or looking down the road at Inter Milan or, you know, Atletico.
No, there was a lot of hustle.
He's playing like he wants to be here and be a part of what is building here. Yeah. And that is really key and essential for us if we're going to make some real noise this year.
It's key and essential for all of our players because I think, especially this version of this team, we play with a lot of emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't get inside our heads. And if the vibes are good, if LaBanda is happening, it shows on the field. And I think
we have to come up with another word for it because it's not really Argentina North anymore. We need something else, some other like nicknamey thing or whatever you want to call it.
What's French for family?
Famille. La famille.
Okay. Well, we got a little bit of that going then. Whatever it is, it's good. All right.
Does anybody know what family is in Polish?
No.
I have to look that one up.
Pierogi. I don't know.
Pierogistas.
But building off what Kat was saying about how it still wasn't bad. That's kind of what number two is all about. Because the ball retention in the opposition half was still good. Yeah. You know, all Chicago was interested in was just counter, direct balls. It's a little bit ironic considering that we scored off of two kind of direct style plays. which is good for us. We continue to score in a variety of different ways, variety of different players, keep teams on, guessing on their heels. I'm happy to see us using the wings more. Strength is on the wings. Okay. You want to force us centrally? Have you met our wings? Okay. Sure. That's fine.
Hey, hey, we're on video now. Raise your hand if your team has the best right side in the league. I mean, come
Brooks is on another. Brooks is on another level.
Brooks Jasaba is just the most fun thing to watch.
What are we gonna call them? Their pairing, like Braba or something, or I don't know. Brooks
Glitter
and
Twins. They're not glittery. No, no, no.
I'm
no,
going
no,
Braba no. until we come up with something better.
Okay, fine.
Braba.
But to your point with Saba, this is how crazy this man is. You were talking about our right side and how it's so dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Saba started that assist on the left.
He moved, he's a right moved winger. All he was, the way he was from on the left.
To the right.
Oh, God.
This dude ran 7.4 miles.
Wait, how far? How far did Brooks run?
Not sure, but Saba hit 7.4. I'm sure Saba Brooks is somewhere around there.
Can you imagine, like, you were saying this earlier in the chat, like, can you imagine being a team looking at tape and whoever's assigned to cover the right side knows they're going to have to run 14 freaking miles in a match?
Just to cover.
Well, seven miles, like 14 miles combined. But yeah, when you look at that, you got to be exhausted just watching that tape. Like, good Lord, I best get, like, on the foam roller.
God, I need to cover stretch. This guy?
Have you drank water today, you stupid, like, my God, hydrate, y'all, because Saba will run you into the ground, and he doesn't look gassed.
No.
And actually, by the before Schlees came off, he had the most. Schlees covered more ground than Saba or Brooks, by the way, because when he came off, Schlees was at 5.2 miles, and Saba was only at 5, as was
Brooks.
And you
want to know what's so amazing
about somebody running all over the pitch.
You want to know what's amazing about that, too, is knowing that Schlees played 120 minutes on Tuesday. Got on a plane.
Correct.
Flew back from... were they in Poland? I think he flew all
in
the way.
In a highly emotional match. You're playing for Euros. You're playing for your country. It's a big deal. And he goes and does this?
Yeah.
Plays his heart out here too.
But that's who he is. What everybody keeps talking about. That's his work rate. The man just runs all over the goddamn place and
was called by his fans and players over in the league over there, the robot, right? I believe
something like that. Yeah,
because he just doesn't run out.
The machine.
God,
but
he really
but
is.
I will say that, like, I don't think I think we've really only seen about 60-75% of what he's capable of doing.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. We have not seen it all.
We have definitely, like, he's still not 100% connecting on his distribution, his outlet passes, and finding, like,
yes, agreed.
He's starting to, like, he sees where the players are going, but he's not quite getting those balls into seams yet.
That position
takes time. It's coming.
And you know what came really quick? Jamal. Like, hey, we actually
39 seconds.
Have...
Finally. Boom. Finally, though, for him. Finally.
Well, finally.
He
finally
got his minutes, and the minutes mattered.
Finally for us, though, like, we finally, in the words of The Rock, finally have a backup to back up a backup plan. Like, he appears to be, I don't want to hype the man too much. I've been guilty of this in the past, but he looks like a proper backup striker.
Well, he's already
instinct for goal.
He's already scored more goals than I think all of our prior backup strikers combined.
Except for Ronaldo Cisneros.
Oh yeah. He's got one to go on Ronaldo Cisneros.
I think he scored a few more than that, actually. Cisneros was okay, but you're right. We haven't had one since, you know, Vasquez was good, but he wasn't where he's at now. And since then, it really hasn't been.
But think about Cisneros, too, that the reason he wasn't a sub-on backup striker, he was an actual...
Yeah, he was the striker, right.
He was the starter because Joseph was because injured.
What happened. Great.
Yeah, so agreed. It wasn't just, it's not quite the same.
And the
so,
thing, the position that Jamal's in is really good because he's going to get just enough minutes. Yeah. Right. He's not going to be cold on the bench all the time. Gigi's had some issues with injuries. Going to see some minutes there.
Yep.
Maybe not so much international call-ups now that Greece is knocked out.
Yeah.
But he should see more regular minutes than some of our previous backup strikers when Joseph was at his peak and you just weren't seeing the field that much.
Yeah, I think if we have the lead going into the 70th minute, you'll see Jamal. Right. I think that's what's going to happen. I think I think more than 75th even, you know, if we have the lead, if we're feeling confident or if there's even a hint that Gigi needs a rest, I think we'll see him.
He may be good enough to give Gigi a rest. He may be.
I know.
I think this is going to, you know, look, I think this is going to be really important. We're not going to talk about Bruno and we're just going to do this. But, you know, Gigi doesn't have the very best health history. Outside of that, we knew that when he got signed. Someone who is reliable, that can step up and actually can do the job. You know, has gotten the monkey off of his back. Right. Because sure. I don't think Barry was Barry was strong on the ball. He just couldn't find the damn net. And Lord knows Kubo with Torres couldn't find the net if it smacked him on the upside of the face.
It did a few times
and the ball still didn't go in the damn net. So finally, Tiare, who has worked really hard in the limited minutes that we've seen him play at.
Like, and he struggled with injuries a little bit too. He had his concussion protocol. Yeah. It's been kind of tough for him. And he had
all the visa issues getting into the squad in the first place.
I had all that to deal with. Yep.
You know, so to see him get off the schneid and on the good foot and here we go, that makes me feel, you know, pretty confident. And then, you know, the little cup of coffee we saw from this, you know, Danny Rios kid with the instant chant already built in.
Looks good.
I think this
is the best we've looked at striker.
Yeah.
In a while.
And before we move off Jamal real quick too, because I just want to say this second goal where he faked out the defender.
Oh, that touch.
It was like he created a sliding meme, but he did that like he's been doing it for so long.
It was
like
he didn't clam up,
he didn't get nervous, he took the touch to the side
that and looked
he
just, like a goal he
just, like he'd been doing it for years. Yeah, exactly, like he'd been doing it for years, and it didn't matter that he'd come off the bench, it didn't matter that he'd already scored one earlier for us and that he hadn't done one in any other game up to now. He'd been doing it for years, and it was completely natural. And it was so slick, by the way, to watch, because I almost thought he wasn't going to get a shot off, and then he cuts it back, and it's like, God damn, dude, that was slick.
It should be a confidence builder for him, just like I think this game was a confidence builder for Noah, and he needed that.
Sure.
Before we get into take four, I got to have one moment for Gigi being on fire. And your defense being terrified. Okay. As of this weekend, one Yorgos Yakumakis is now Atlanta United's second all-time leading scorer behind one Joseph Martinez. And he also tied another Joseph Martinez record of scoring 5 goals in the first 5 matches of season.
Wow, I didn't know that one. That's a good one.
So he can break it when we go, if he gets a goal and or home run, when we play NYCFC
next week at the Mets Stadium at
City Field, because, you know,
they don't have a field.
because the Yankees take precedence over the other baseball team.
We can only make that joke for so much longer. They do have a stadium coming. I'm happy for the league and them, actually.
I'm happy for the fans because it's a joke to have to go to Yankee Stadium need their own to house. Watch a soccer.
And it looks like it's going to be pretty dope, actually.
Yeah, good. It should be.
Sorry, Noah,
I didn't mean to derail you. Get on the boy.
Yeah, I mean, this was the game he needed. He's been faced with tough situation after tough situation, tough opponents, tough conditions, and he needed a match where he had just enough to do, just enough adversity, but he's at home, the friendly confines of the Benz. This should be a confidence builder for him, too. I expect, you know, Steen's still going to be out. Probably for a few more matches still. Keep starting the kid.
I agree.
I thought he was outstanding He had that one little kind of communication error with Brad where he was trying to shield the ball and he thought Brad was coming down and he maybe should have just booted it, maybe, out to touch. But apart from that, I don't have anything critical to say. And I think he's only going to get better.
Has he really had, in the times that we've asked him to step up last season, you know, and even a little bit from the season prior at the end, has mm-hmm. he ever really done anything that was absolutely horrible? Like, I thought that he's been a pretty consistent second stringer, you know?
I think like, he's faced horrible situations.
Yeah, but has he really done badly with those situations when we've asked him to?
Yes, he's done badly alongside 10 other people that also did badly. Well, you know what I'm saying? In those situations, he has not been faced with a situation where pretty much everyone was doing well and he, you know, cost us a goal.
That's what
I mean. He's been a part of situations where we've just been run out the park.
Well, that happens. Yeah. And that's not on him. And that's not on him. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's on the whole team. Yeah. He needed a game where we were dominant and he had some key plays. He had some key moments and he looked great and he should feel better about going to when he goes out to the ball field and faces another tough situation being on the road.
Gets behind home plate and makes sure that nobody scores. Yep, I get it.
I need y'all to recognize that this poor little boy, this poor man, made his MLS starting debut in that debacle of a Columbus match last season.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah.
That's a perfect example
of something adversity. Not being his fault when everybody just took a shit dive. So,
it's not everybody took a shit dive. Seven players were gone. Seven starters were gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what he had to deal with in Toronto. We had six other players out. And let me tell you, one of the goals, okay, maybe a little bit whatever, but like it wasn't a horrible gaffe that had we had our regular, or at least maybe one or two more regular players in there, would have happened, you know, would have been able to be. You know, I think
he's had to take on extra responsibility. He's been thrown into the deep end. It's nice to throw him in where he can still touch the ground.
Well, and I think, you know, that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world either, because look what it did for Caleb Wiley and his development. You know, all of 22.
I think this will build for him. It will. But it was still nice to see this. Absolutely. I'm not saying it was an easy match. He worked hard. And he should get another start. And then this is leading into number five. We need to see that performance and the others' performances replicated. We have to start getting points on the road now. Yep. It's great that the Benz is becoming a fortress again. I want this place to be terrifying when people come here. Home points are not enough.
Nope.
It's not. Not in this league. We have to start getting results on the road.
And we
New York is there for the taking. They're not that good this year. It's not even a home game for them. I mean, we're both playing on the road. Like we should be able, I think, to get this done. We will be at full strength, minus, you know, God forbid, no negative test results come back for Gigi.
Minus
I think it is just a knock. It's one of those things where, like, you collide with a player and it hits the kind of the funny bone area in the knee and you're like, come out. It's fine.
Well, I also think that we would have heard by now. I know that the game was only yesterday, but I think that we might have heard. No, you don't think so? If it was a major injury, you don't think that we would have known right away?
No, because you know, you're going to do an MRI that doesn't get read right away. Then you're going to, if you're taught, you
and they may want to play it a little close to the chest too.
Maybe.
They may not want to reveal their hand if something is going on, but I think we'll know. We'll certainly know by, today is Monday. We might know by tomorrow because it's a Saturday match we have this time. So yes. I think media should be out there on Tuesday and we're going to know if we don't see Gigi running around out on the field. Doug Roberson will be up there. I'm sure Tyler Pilgrim will be there from Scarves and Spikes and, you know, just laying eyes on everybody. And we'll probably get an update. So you're listening to this on a Tuesday. You may already know.
Paranoid over here.
Yeah, a little bit. Look, regardless of who's available, you've got to get points on the road. We just have to start doing it. We have to break that trend. I'm not saying we need to go out and dominate the way we dominated at home and where you're expected to dominate. but we've got to figure out a way to get at least a point. I think all three are there for us this week.
And to be fair, we're out of excuses, right?
Yes.
Season opener against Columbus on banner raising day.
Tough we found problem. The excuses. Toronto, ice on the ball. Okay.
Six starters out on international.
What are we doing? What are we doing for the Mets stadium? Oh, it's a small stadium. No, I don't want to hear it.
No, there's not an excuse for this. You want to be a real team in this league, you better go put your money where your mouth is. And guess where your mouth is? Your mouth is in Shea Stadium, City Field, whatever the fuck they call it these days.
Right.
With the worst color scheme in sports history, orange and ugh, it's just gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the. No. A lot of people are liking the NYC kits this year.
Okay. Yeah. No, okay. So I would have loved the NYCFC kit if it had been like a hot pink or like a neon green or anything other than fucking Mets orange and blue.
Yeah. Anything that's orange and blue as a UGA fan, Gator blue.
Yeah.
Anything that's orange and blue is bad. It just doesn't work.
But
even FC Cincinnati, get past I'm sorry, orange, it's not good.
At least it's royal blue and it's not like Mets blue, right?
Royal blue. Sorry.
Are you making a liar liar reference?
Any Jim Carrey fans out there? The pen that I hold in my hand.
Well, hopefully I think we will get all 3 points this weekend, and hopefully the team does not make a liar liar out of me.
Wow.
I think that's a good way to end it. Come in on a pun, end on a pun, sort of pun, half-hearted pun. I don't know. Anything else? Have I forgotten anything? Do we need to shout out anyone else or anything else that?
No, but I want to
coming up. Oh, the women's footy forum. You wanna hit on that real quick?
Super excited. We are gonna be laying down. We are so excited about hosting She Believes Cup this weekend and having the U.S. Women's National Team back here in the A, or as others are calling it, One Jason Longshore Soccer City USA. Kind of cool.
You bet.
It's kind of cool to be from Soccer City USA. So in celebration of that, we are going to do a bit of a deep dive and have a ladies football forum featuring some special guest stars and a little bit of roundtable discussion about the history, the state of, and things that are going on with women's soccer and women's sports fandom in general, because there's a lot happening, not just, you know,
sure is.
Not just on a national global level, but also here in Atlanta. There's a lot of, you know, new local teams coming down the pipe for you to enjoy women's football. There's been some really exciting new announcements about potential more women's teams coming down the pipeline. They broke ground on the national team training facility in Fayetteville. Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about. We're going to be recording those, bookending the She Believes Cup this weekend. So look for episode one to drop on Thursday to get you ready. And then we will be doing a wrap up, episode, following the match, the doubleheader, this weekend. And I hope all of y'all stay hydrated. Drink your water, you stupid bitch. It is a doubleheader. And you want to see Brazil play Canada.
Yes.
Like, those are really good teams. We are super lucky with the matchups that we've got for this. So, you know,
incredibly
fortunate. Don't be a Jennifer and actually make it into the stadium to enjoy some really fantastic soccer. And we can't wait
enjoy
to talk
this
to you
opportunity. Enjoy the opportunity that we've got, because it's not, it doesn't come around.
I'll take
it doesn't
granted.
Come around. You know, this is a huge, you know, but you also, only get a chance to see your national team when it's a national competition. It's not a local team. It's not something you get to see every week. Take
it's not
the time
a friendly either.
And,
it's a competition
it's not a friendly.
That means something.
Yeah,
but
right.
I also don't want it to come across as like, we are very fortunate. We're very lucky here, but this was earned.
Yeah, like, for damn
the,
sure.
The city.
Atlanta has proven that we are a soccer destination.
The work has been done.
That's right.
To make this happen, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we should enjoy
ladies
it.
To the front. It's about damn time.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
us guys
and as,
have had
and
it
as,
long enough, and we haven't done much with it. So
right, and as Jennifer and I are two apparently of the only female podcasters or podders. What do you call a pod people. Sure, Jenny likes to call us pod people, by the way.
Pod people.
I'll take pod people.
Jennifer and I are two of the only female pod people that have anything to do with Atlanta United in this city. So as representatives of the podding community,
to be fair, there are a few other women that are out there contributing regularly to the podscape. You know, we're certainly not your only option in town for women's voices, but we definitely want to amplify the women's perspective and you know, talk about the women's game, you know, and what it means to like get to go sit in your home stadium and watch.
That's right.
Like these incredibly talented women, like in person. Like, I'm going to be able to spit on Lindsey Horan, and I'm super
excited. I don't recommend actually doing that.
I wouldn't actually do that. Although
you might get banned from Fado.
I get to debut my new Alyssa Nair earrings.
Oh, so yes, I got to see a preview the other night, and they are quite awesome in that regard. When and if you're able to go to Fado on Friday night to meet Miss Lindsey Horan,
it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow night.
I'm sorry. I thought you said it was Friday.
No, it's Tuesday night. Tuesday night.
So if you're listening to this, it's Tuesday night. I'm going to try to go to that.
Yeah, and here's your She Believes event rundown. So tomorrow night, Tuesday night at Fado, 7 o'clock, there is a Lindsey Horan meet and greet, and they've got some specials and whatnot going on. And then Friday night.
Please don't spit on her.
Yeah, but don't spit on her.
No, she's amazing. If I spat on her, she'd kick my ass.
Please, I would.
Like she would, and everybody would support her. I would never spit
That's
on.
Right.
I wouldn't mess with any of these of these ladies.
Yeah, they kick things for a living.
And then Friday night, American Outlaws, the Atlanta chapter, is hosting a night before get together with all sorts of fabulous specials and whatnot. I believe it's from 6 to 10. They're going to have a DJ. This will be at their home bar, Fado Midtown. And then on Saturday, it's the big day. You've got a couple of options. There is some sort of like celebration of U.S. soccer in Centennial Park from like 9 to noon that's hosted by the U.S. Soccer Federation. And then your local American Outlaws chapter is sponsoring a tailgate at the AJC lot, which is directly across from State Farm Arena.
Got it.
Yeah. And if you need parking, it is available on the Mercedes-Benz website for pre-purchase. They're recommending Ruby and Sapphire lots are the closest ones to the tailgate.
Cool.
Otherwise MARTA, whatnot. But yes, really looking forward to an amazing weekend. Celebrating our national team. Like, how awesome is this? I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. This is only gonna be my second cap. And for a lot of people, this is gonna be their first cap because we have always had to travel to see them.
This is the first opportunity that anybody in Atlanta has been able to see, except for one of the times where it had to get canceled. I can't remember why. I think it was like, it was bad weather or something. I can't remember, but it's going to be one of the first times that people in Atlanta will get to see the national team since 96. And that is huge.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. It doesn't happen all that
often.
That's right.
I think we've made our point on that this is the time. You're not going to be able to get to do this again. Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's a long day, y'all.
Yep.
Hydrate.
Drink.
Drink water. All right.
Drink. Yeah. Don't just drink. Drink water.
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 Water being the optimal word here.
Alternate. Yeah. One beer, one water. One beer, one water. That's what I'm going to go for. That's my plan.
Maybe just stick with water. I'm just going to stick with water. That day. Last weekend was rough. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you for watching. If you're watching all of this, God bless you sitting through an hour plus of our faces. I mean, y'all's faces.
I'm so sorry.
Mine looks silly.
But
we appreciate
it. I've been with my hair the whole time because I can't not.
Your haircut looks good, by the way. Your hair looks really nice. Yeah, it looks good.
This is why we had to wait for the video, by the way, because Kat
we had to wait for her to get her stupid haircut.
Yeah, I had to shave tonight.
We appreciate it as always. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting Mason Mill. They really appreciate it. We appreciate it in return. Thank you for joining the Atlanta United Fan TV Discord. Thank you to those guys for continuing to support us and helping us get this video portion off the ground. AJ's been really helpful with that. So I think we will be back wow, sooner than later. We're going to be back Thursday. with a new five side. And boy, is this going to be a busy weekend. I mean, we're going to have a five takes to do and a sort of wrap up on the She Believes, which we might try to fold into one, or we might try to record five takes on Monday. Yeah, I'm getting a head shake and a no shake.
No, the ladies' football forum stands on its own. We have stands on its own much for fun sure. stuff to discuss. So yeah,
suffice it to say, there is a lot coming.
You won't lack for content from us if you're bored and spending hours and hours stuck in Atlanta traffic.
You've got something to listen to. So we'll be back in just a couple days' time. So until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Rodzina.
Oh, God. Now what is it? What language is that?
It's family in Polish.
So now we're going family and no meow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, sure. Cat in Polish is kot. It was kind of boring.
How do you say meow in Polish?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's... It's just probably just meow, except you just say it with a really cool accent.